go ahead and try to pick up with our study. I trust you will recall, if you have been with us, that what we are doing and have been doing is that we're trying to see if we can identify where during Paul's Acts ministry that he wrote his various books, like Galatians, Corinthians, etc., and doing so by comparing the information in with each of those books with the details given by Luke in the book of Acts. And we have already noted that we've already looked at the book of Galatians. It appears as though the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians somewhere along Acts chapter, the end of Acts chapter 15, or perhaps part of chapter 16, somewhere in there. Galatians is a little bit difficult to pinpoint, but it does seem that Galatians is probably the earliest of the written documents by the Apostle Paul that actually becomes scripture. So that would be, looks like it's somewhere around Acts chapter number 16. We also studied and looked at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We suggested that he wrote 1st Thessalonians somewhere early on or about the middle of the book of Acts chapter 18, and then 2nd Thessalonians shortly after that. And then we've also looked at the book of 1st Corinthians and where it was that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of 1st Corinthians. And we figured, based upon the internal evidence in the book of 1st Corinthians as well as the book of Acts, that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of 1st Corinthians probably around Acts 19 and somewhere around maybe verse 22. I wish I could be more exact with some of these, but it's not necessary to be that exact. As long as we can just kind of place them in relationship to each other in the book of Acts, it's certainly helpful. Now, where we left off a couple of weeks ago, and we were having some technical difficulties, so I don't really know how much information we actually were able to get through clearly without the computer messing up. We started to look at 2 Corinthians. Where was it when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians? And because I don't know exactly how much came across just because of the technical issues, the Paltalk issues, that's where we're going to pick up today. We're going to pick up and figure that nothing came across on that lesson. All right. So what I'd like you to do then at this point, I want you to open up to the book of Acts, chapter number 19, and I want you to open up to the book of 2 Corinthians. In the book of 2nd, for now, just put a marker there in Acts 19. We'll come back to that. So just put a marker in Acts 19. The book of 2 Corinthians, there are actually quite a few details that are very, very helpful in pinpointing where the earliest that the Apostle Paul could have written the book of 2 Corinthians. And so I first of all want to go over some of those details. So if you will turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and actually maybe I should have you do something else first. Go to 1 Corinthians 16, which is easy to do because that's right by 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, right? So that should be fairly simple to spot this. Let's bring back to our frame of reference that where the Apostle Paul was when he wrote 1 Corinthians. He's in Asia, and specifically at Ephesus. He says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 8, he says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." All right. Now, the reason I want us to kind of bring that verse back to our frame of reference is that that will help us understand that Paul, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he's still at Ephesus. So that does put you in Acts 19. All right. And look what he says back at verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 16. He says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia." But he hasn't been there yet. So when he writes 1 Corinthians, he stayed at Ephesus. He's going to abide at Ephesus. He has not yet gone up into Macedonia, so he hasn't left from Ephesus yet. So it's pretty clear that he writes 1 Corinthians in Acts chapter number 19. And as we suggested, probably around verse 23, somewhere along Acts 19, verse 22, 23. So just put a marker there. That seems to be fairly conclusive, okay? Now, having said that, now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 here. And notice some of the details that Paul provides in the book of 2 Corinthians as far as the timing of the writing and the place where he wrote it from, at least suggesting that. Look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1:8, he says this: "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, how that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, let's compare this so that we can paint a proper picture here, allow the Scripture to paint us a proper picture. Go back to 1 Corinthians 16. Remember what the Apostle Paul says here. 1 Corinthians 16, at verse 8, once again, he tells the Corinthians he's going to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost. Now watch what verse 9 says. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." You get the sense when you read that verse, and then when you compare it with 2 Corinthians 1:8, that this opposition to what he was preaching was building to the place where it finally reached a crescendo, and was obviously Paul's life was no doubt in jeopardy. All right, if you look at how he says it over in Acts 19, please keep your markers over there in 2 Corinthians, but look at Acts chapter number 19, verse 23. Acts 19, verse 23 says this: "At the same time there arose no small stir about that way." Now there it is. Yes, as there arose, obviously there had been some undercurrents and some discussion and talking, and now this thing is just going to arise out of control, this great opposition to what he is preaching. We're not going to read all the details about it, but I trust you will in your own personal study time. You see, this is initiated by this man named Demetrius, verse 24. He's a silversmith, and they're making silver shrines for the goddess Diana. And so he stirs up the whole city with the message, opposing the message Paul's preaching. And look down at verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship it. Now watch this. "And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion." And I mean, it's great. Obviously, this is a great massive demonstration and so forth. If you pay much attention to current events, if you've seen some of the uprising of what they're now calling the Arab Spring, that's turning into an Arab disaster, an Arab winter. But if you look at the uprisings that started, almost 20 months ago now, in Egypt and, of course, Libya, and continuing in Syria and so forth, and how you see these pictures of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of demonstrators in the streets, all chanting, all shouting, all jumping up and down. I mean, that's a pretty good picture if you're trying to get a picture of what happened here at Ephesus. I mean, they're just a big, massive demonstration. If you look what it says at verse 32 of Acts 19, it says this: "Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together." That's just, oh my goodness. Isn't that a description of religion? You know, you've got the masses coming together, they're confused, they don't know what the truth is, and most of them have no idea why they're coming together. I mean, that's an accurate description of religion, you know, in the average churches throughout the world and the average religious scenes throughout the world. But in this case, this certainly was a religious assembly in honor of the goddess Diana and her idols and so forth. So this is a massive religious confusion here. But again, if you just have seen some of those pictures over the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, in those various parts of the world, you can get a real picture of what's going on. Anyway, the thing finally dies down. This uproar finally dies down. Obviously, Paul's life is in jeopardy, and same with some others. Look now to chapter 20 of Acts. Look how it is described by Luke in verse 1. See that word there? He says, "And after the uproar was ceased." He describes it as an uproar. I mean, this was just a massive demonstration. He describes it as an uproar. The masses were confused. They didn't know why they were coming together. When the Apostle Paul says, you can hold on to Acts now and go over to 2 Corinthians 1, go back to 2 Corinthians 1. I take it that when the Apostle Paul says at verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1, 8, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." He is probably speaking in that passage right there about that great uproar and the things that developed and built up and led to that. Okay, there's no doubt he's got to be talking about that. That his life absolutely was in jeopardy. He was pressed above measure, above strength, pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He probably thought, okay, hey, this is it. We're going to die now. We're just going to go to the glory now. And it sure on probably a few occasions seemed that way. So if that is in fact the case, then that would tell you that the earliest that he could have written 2 Corinthians is going to be sometime after that massive uproar settled back down there at Ephesus. But there's more information. Look, stay with me now in 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, this time chapter number 2. Look what else he puts in the book. There's some additional pieces of information that Paul writes here by which he helps us determine, or by which we can determine approximately when he wrote the book and where he wrote it from. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this time, verse 12. He says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." Now notice the references to those two different places, Troas and Macedonia. And he speaks about those in the past tense. He says, "When I came to Troas." And then he left, he took his leave of them, and he went from them into Macedonia. So he couldn't have written the book of 2 Corinthians until after those events had happened. So that means that he would have left Ephesus, he would traveled north up to Troas, and then he would have gone across to the Macedonia territory. And he would have actually entered into Macedonia, and therefore he couldn't have written the book until after those things had happened. So he would have gone basically north along the coast from Ephesus up to Troas, gone across, I guess the territory would be the Aegean Sea, and then into Macedonia. And probably when he did that, he probably visited the Philippians and the Thessalonians and so forth. And I'll show you that just momentarily, all right, or just in a moment here. But the point is that he clearly mentions having gone to Troas and then leaving Troas and then going from thence to Macedonia. This time, go to 2 Corinthians 7. This guy time, go to 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. He says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side with outward fightings, with inward fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down," isn't that a great verse, by the way, "comforted us," how? "By the coming of Titus." So clearly, he has gotten into Macedonia, and he has met up with Titus, whom he, of course, had been looking for. So the fact that he includes that in the book of 2 Corinthians means that he has to have written 2 Corinthians sometime after he left Ephesus, after he had gone up to Troas, after he had crossed over the Aegean Sea, and was into Macedonia. You see how these references to locations helps us kind of get understand where it was that he probably wrote this. Plus Titus is with him now. Titus had come back from visiting the Corinthians, seeing how they were doing, and now had linked up with the Apostle Paul up while Paul was in Macedonia. So he has to write it after he has had this interaction with Titus. Okay? All right, now there are quite a few clues in the book of 2 Corinthians. I just am going to have you look at one more that's very, very interesting. He says, this time go to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. This time go to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians and notice what he says. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, he mentions things about sending Titus and mentions things about some other brothers that are going to go with him and so forth. So obviously he has redispatched, if I can say it that way, Titus to go back down and see how they're doing and take, you know, help with the collection. We'll talk about that here in a little bit when we get to Romans. But watch what he says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. He says, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you." Now that verse is helpful because we see that when Paul writes 2 Corinthians, it's after he had already arrived in Macedonia, but prior to the time that he got back down to Corinth. Let me say that again. He writes 2 Corinthians sometime after he had gotten up back into Macedonia, but prior to the time that he had arrived back down at Corinth. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. He says, "This is the third time I am coming to you." He's on his way, okay? He's already on his way. He's just not there yet. So that means that if we can find in the book of Acts, if we can trace Paul's journeys in the book of Acts, where sometime after the uproar at Ephesus, after he leaves Ephesus, after he goes up to Troas, leaves Troas, goes across to Macedonia, spent a little bit of time there, but prior to his arrival down at Corinth, then that's probably where he wrote the book. Does that make sense how I said that? I hope it does. Once again, if we see a place in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul he's left Ephesus, he went up to Troas, but then he leaves Troas, he goes across the Aegean Sea over to Macedonia, and now he's beginning to travel south towards Greece or Achaia, but he hasn't gotten there yet, then that's probably a pretty good place to say, yeah, this is probably where he wrote the book. Now notice again how he says that there. 2 Corinthians 13:1, he says, "This is the third time I am," notice, "coming to you." He's clearly on the way, but he hasn't got there yet. And what he does, he actually dispatches Titus with some of the others to go down and proceed, to go before him, to proceed and make preparations for him so that once he gets there, everything will be ready. If you'll look over to, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this time. I'm going to just jump right into the context here. Notice he has dispatched Titus and another brother in a small group. He's already sent them on the way to kind of make preparations for so that everything could be handled prior to Paul getting there. He says at verse 16, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. He says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he, notice, went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. So when he says with this grace, he's talking about the collection that the saints of Macedonia had taken up for the poor saints in Jerusalem that they had given to the Apostle Paul, because they knew Paul was going to get back to Jerusalem and they wanted Paul to give it to them. So the Apostle Paul here, he puts in this book here the fact that he had sent Titus with this other brother, and the Titus was willing to go even before Paul asked him to go. Look down at verse 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we have sent with them our brother. See how he's dispatched them? They're on their way, but he himself is not yet on the way, meaning he hasn't left Macedonia yet. He says, we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is our partner and fellow helper concerning you, and our brother be inquired of, they are the messengers of Christ and the glory of, messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting in your behalf. So you can see that he dispatched Titus with this other brother and probably another handful of individuals. He dispatched them ahead of himself to go down to Corinth to basically assist with the collection down there, the collection that they were taking for the poor saints of Jerusalem, the collection down there at Corinth. But Paul himself was not there yet. He obviously sent them ahead of himself. Now, if you'll look down this time, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, this time verse 14 again. I'm sorry, 12, verse 14. Chapter 12, verse 14. You can see he says, behold, the third time ready to come unto you. He's making preparations to go. If you'll look at verse 18, I desired Titus, and with him sent a brother. See that? He's sending them ahead. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly beloved for your edifying. For I fear, now watch this, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. See, he sends those guys ahead of him with this document, 2 Corinthians. He sends them ahead of him with this document, dispatches them ahead of him, so that they can get down there and say, hey guys, you guys need to really kind of shape up with your conduct here. Because Paul's coming down and he doesn't really want to have to deal. I love the way he says it here, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. He says, God, I don't want to come down there and have an embarrassing situation where I find you guys right in the middle of all these wicked sins. And it'll be equally embarrassing to you as it will be to me. You know, you walk in on someone in the middle of a sin, you say, oops, I probably, sorry, kind of, you know. Paul says, I don't want to come down there. He says, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, stripes, backbitings, whispers, swelling tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already. See, he doesn't want to get down there and have to bewail many and have to call them on the carpet. See, he says, guys, he sends Titus with this other brother and a small group of individuals to go down and really help with a number of things. One is they're going to carry this document with them, and another thing to help, coordinate and that collection they were supposed to take for the poor saints at Jerusalem, but really to kind of pave the way so that when Paul gets down there, he can have a happy meeting. When he says at chapter 13, verse 1, this is the third time I am coming to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. See, he's going to hold court, as we say. He's going to call witnesses. He says, I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time and being absent now, I write to you, to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking to me, which to you, word is not weak, but is mighty in you. You see, so again, he's trying to prepare them for his arrival, but he's not there yet. So now, if you take all those pieces of the puzzle, all of those details are actually quite helpful in determining where Paul wrote this book. So let's go back to the book of Acts now. Acts 19, he's at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 1, it's after the uproar has ceased. 20, verse 1 of Acts. Acts 20, verse 1. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. Now that would link up with 2 Corinthians 2 and 2 Corinthians 7 about that he went into Macedonia. Now watch verse 2. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation. Well, who was in Macedonia? Well, that would have been, you know, the Thessalonians, the Philippians, perhaps the Bereans. I mean, if there was an assembly there. So it says, had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. Verse 3, and there abode 3 months. So now he's actually down in Greece, and he's actually down in Corinth, which tells you that he's arrived at Corinth. So he would have arrived at Corinth somewhere, like I say, obviously down at the last part of verse 2 there, which, that's the most obvious place where he would have written. When I say place, I don't mean the city. He doesn't write it from Greece, or I should say. Is that if you want to pinpoint a place in the book of Acts where he wrote 2 Corinthians, it was probably there somewhere towards the end of Acts 20 and verse 1. So say between, timing-wise, probably while he's in Macedonia there, you see how the reference, he goes to Macedonia at verse 1 there. So he would have written 2 Corinthians somewhere right around there, but prior to him arriving in Greece at verse 2. See that there? So hopefully that makes sense with all those clues that were given in 2 Corinthians. It was after the uproar. It was after he left Ephesus, after he left Troas and has clearly gone to Macedonia. But prior to the time that he's arrived at Corinth down in Greece, prior, obviously, he wrote it prior to the time of him dismissing Titus and the brothers, because he wrote it and gave it to them and they took it with them to prepare the way. Okay, so if you're taking notes and want to just jot a note down as far as when he wrote 2 Corinthians, no doubt would have been right there about 2 Corinthians chapter 20 at the end of verse 1, right along in there. Okay? Okay, now, we're going to move on now to the book of Romans, because we've already looked at when he wrote Galatians, then 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then 1 and 2 Corinthians. And now, with all that information, and all that's quite helpful, by the way, in relationship to the book of Romans, we're going to see if we can't pinpoint where it was that he wrote the book of Romans, where in the book of Acts he wrote the book of Romans. And what's interesting is that Romans also is fairly, I don't want to say easy, but it is, there are some very helpful clues in the book of Romans as far as when and where he wrote the book of Romans. They really do stand out. There are some obvious things here that he mentions. You go, okay, well, he had to have written it after this event and this event and this event, okay? Well, first of all, the big obvious clue is over in chapter number 1. Look over to chapter number 1 and notice he says at Romans 1, verse 10. Romans 1, 10, he says this. He says, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Jump to verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Now, the obvious clue, therefore, is that Paul writes the book of Romans before he had ever been to Rome. He had never been to Rome yet. And you can see from both references, he's made multiple requests in prayer to the Lord to get there, but he's not yet been there, and he's planning on going there. Okay, now that's kind of interesting. That's a different pattern, because all the other books, Galatians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, he wrote those books after he had been in those territories and spent some time with those people. In the case of Romans, he had not yet been to Rome. So that's kind of interesting, which that obviously tells you he writes the book of Romans prior to arriving at Rome. Therefore, he clearly wrote the book of Romans prior to Acts 28. There's no doubt about that. Okay, absolutely no doubt. You can't push the book of Romans out after Acts, because at the end of Acts is when he arrives at Rome and he's got a ministry there. So, but when he writes this book, he has not yet been to Rome. So that's the first obvious, big, helpful, important clue. But that's not the only clue. Go to Romans chapter 15, and there's quite a bit more information here. This time, he says, this time we're going to go down to Romans 15, Romans chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse 22. Romans 15:22 says this. It says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." So again, he hasn't yet been there. Verse 23 now. "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." Okay, so not only has he not yet been to Rome, but he is clearly planning on going to Jerusalem. And he says specifically to minister unto the saints. He's talking about the poor saints at Jerusalem. Look at the additional details he gives us here. He says, "For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." Okay, now that's helpful. Because it says here, "For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia." Who was in Macedonia? Well, that was, of course, that would be like the Philippians, the Thessalonians, the Bereans, if there was an assembly at Berea. Who would be in Achaia? Well, that would be the Corinthians. See that? And not only that, he says it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Now watch verse 28. "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." When Paul writes the book of Romans, he has already traveled through Macedonia and received the collection for the saints. And that we saw over in, actually we didn't look at it in detail, but we kind of looked at some of it there in 2 Corinthians. But he's also now received and has in his possession the collection from the saints in Achaia. He physically has it with him. And now he's making plans to go to Jerusalem to give it to them, to minister it to them. You see that? Now, let's go back and pick up some details about this gift and the timing and so forth. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says this, verse 1. And this is 1 Corinthians, right? He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." That's the poor saints at Jerusalem. That's what I mean by that is this. Those Jews who in the early chapters of the book of Acts, such as there at Pentecost, Those Jews who believed that Christ was the Messiah, according to how Peter preached Jesus of Nazareth and God raised him from the dead, they believed that. They believed the gospel of the kingdom. They repented. They got water baptized. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then, according to Acts 2 and Acts 4, they sold all their possessions, and they had these collective assets to take care of each other. Well, of course, because of the ushering in of the dispensation of the grace of God, the kingdom didn't come. Indeed, the rest of the tribulation period didn't even come. And so these guys ran out of money, is the simplest way to put it. That's why they were the poor saints at Jerusalem. Those Jewish believers who were members of the little flock who had sold all their possessions, anticipating the coming of Christ within about 7 years of their lifetime. It didn't happen. Not because God's word failed, but because Israel committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and instead of God pouring out his wrath, he ushered in a new dispensation, the dispensation of grace. That's another whole study. But that's why these guys were poor. So when Paul, that's why those guys, those folks at Jerusalem, the poor, they were the poor saints at Jerusalem. That's who they were. That's specifically who Paul's talking about here. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you Jerusalem, your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now you can see right from the beginning of Paul's ministry, Paul's already teaching the Gentiles that, listen, you need to take care of that little flock over there until they can get back on their feet. He already told the churches of Galatia to start taking the collection. He instructed the Corinthians to do so. This time, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. He taught the Galatians. He taught the folks in Macedonia. And, of course, he instructs the Corinthians down in Achaia. This time, go to 2 Corinthians 8. And he's saying, now he's going to talk to the Corinthians about this collection, and specifically about the Macedonian saints. And he really stirs up the Corinthians by telling them that, hey, the Macedonians got this taken care of way ahead of you guys. Look at chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they are willing themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and so forth. The bottom line is that, I just looked at the clock and realized I'm almost out of time here, and we're not going to be able to get through this. But when you read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 here, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that, hey, you Corinthians said a year ago that you would take up a collection. And I began to talk to the other churches about that. And it excited the other churches so much, it almost put a challenge out that they already took it. They already took care of it. The saints of Macedonia already took this collection. And you know what, guys? Corinthians, you Corinthians now are lagging behind. He says, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who began before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. See that? Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching and ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. See that? Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in his behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Bottom line is this, you know what he's saying? Listen, you Corinthians, you told me a year ago you were gonna take this collection up for the poor saints of Jerusalem. I was so excited, I began to tell the other grace churches and other believers in various parts of the territory. It motivated them, and they've done it, and you haven't. And so I'm sending Titus and some of the others with this document to tell you guys, get this done, lest when I come and arrive in your midst, and there's going to be some people from Macedonia with me, I don't want you guys to be embarrassed. Okay? Well, they obviously respond to what he says. When you read Romans 15, he now has the gift. They did finish taking the collection. So when he says at Romans 15, verse 26, he says, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So he has the gift now from the Macedonians, from the Achaeans, from the saints down in Achaia, which are the Corinth, which tells you that he has now been down with the Corinthians. So he has to have written the book sometime after he's got the collection, and is now making preparations to go to Jerusalem, but hasn't left wherever he's staying. Okay, you know what? We're out of time right now. I can't believe that. That just kind of came up on us too fast. But we'll pick up here next time. What you're going to see, basically, is the Apostle Paul writes the book of Romans very, very shortly after he writes 2 Corinthians. So right around Acts chapter number 20, probably at about verse 3 or 4, somewhere along in there. He wrote somewhere, Acts chapter 20, verse 3 or 4, somewhere right along in that area there. We'll pick up here next time, and then we'll get to some of the other books that we haven't yet looked at. So let's see if we have any questions at this point. Again, I didn't, time just went by so fast here. Anybody have any questions? If so, just raise your hand there. Trophimus, how are you doing today, man? It's good to see you. Let's open this up let me give you the microphone. Go ahead with your question there.
Well, thank you, John. You know, I can appreciate understanding the timeline here, you know. And it made me think as you were discussing the time for 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians in regard to the Acts 28 position, you know. Anderson and Bullinger always held that Acts 3, 18 to 21 was on the table all the way to Acts 28. But, you know, in their writings, you never find them accounting for the collection that was taken up during the Acts period, as you just so aptly shown in the last, you know, few sessions here, as we follow this timeline. You know, there would have been no need for a collection if the prophetic program was still enacted, you know, and moved on, you know, and that there hadn't been a serious interruption in Acts 7 with Stephen. But anyway, it's just a side note, and I can see the relevance, you know, of why you take the time to, you know, go through these verses and prove by God's word when these books were written. Again, thank you.
Hey, Trophimus, sounds like your phone's ringing. Got to grab the phone there. But yeah, Trophimus, that is some great insight. And I hope everybody really sees the point you were just conveying about that if the prophetic program had not yet been interrupted, then why would there have been this need to take up this collection for the poor saints? That is just a tremendous point there. So thanks very much for taking the time and bringing out that insight. Appreciate it. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts or comments on our study so far? And also, Trophimus, thanks for posting the verses in big, large print. That's excellent. That's good to read. You go, whoa, I can see that. You know. So thanks for taking the time to do that. Okay, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the class now. I hope you have your memory verse down. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians there, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Therefore, if it's wisdom and knowledge that we want, we need to look and expect to find them in Christ, in God's Word. Thanks so much for being with us. Join us this evening. Have a great day. Bye now.